If you would this morning, Numbers chapter 14, a long chapter, so we probably won't read it all, but we'll get through it all. Certainly some points in here I want to touch on and want to get to. It's a great chapter for us, but it's a chapter that brings us to a place of looking at our own hearts and lives a lot. We've come through this place. Remember, Israel is on the move. They're following the Lord. The Lord going fire by night, a cloud by day, leading them, guiding them. It's the first time they've moved in a year, and they're on their way now. But the hearts haven't changed. Isn't it amazing that the Lord always looks at the heart, and here we are looking at the people's hearts and realizing that we're in the same place. We have those hearts that need changing. We have those hearts that need instruction, just like the people of Israel did. There's nothing new under the sun. And it says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Why did they weep? Because there's giants in the land. Folks, there's giants in front of you. There's giants of financial security. There's giants of physical wellness. There's giants of countries being shaken. There's giants all over the place that we have to face. And you can either face them or you can run from them. And that's what Israel is going to do. And the Lord has promised them to bring them through to the promised land. And yet they have a battle once they get inside the land. They know that the giants are there, but they're not so big that they can't be defeated, because God is bigger. The giants aren't bigger than Israel's God. The giants aren't bigger than your God. Your God can help you. Your God can strengthen you. The giants are created things that are going to fall one day. And if he says that it's time for you to face those giants and to go through that place of facing those giants and to overcome them, he's the one that's going to enable you to do it. And he's the one that's going to give you strength to do it. You have to trust one thing or another. Either you're going to trust that the giants are bigger than you are and you're not going to face them, or you're going to face the fact that God told you to do it and that you can, because he's enabling you. And he can help us in that place of defeating those things and walking with us. So they cried, they wept that night. You know, it's amazing to me. They've been at least a year out of Egypt. They've come against the Lord already, but I never see anywhere in Scripture where it says they wept and cried all night over their sin. They wept and cried all night because there's giants. Isn't that sad that we would think more of the giants than we would of our relationship with the Lord? And we do that sometimes too. We cry, we fret, we get anxious, we get antsy, we get online, we try and figure out ways of doing things and ways of performing things and getting a hold of things, but we never take that much time to seek the Lord's heart and to be ministered to by the Spirit of God. We'll take more time doing the things that are in this natural place rather than the supernatural, when it's the supernatural that we're going to spend eternity in. I'd rather spend more time now getting the supernatural than the natural, because this is fading. If you can't tell, we're getting older. You can't see me like you used to see me. I'm still here. I'm right here. You can't hear me as well as you used to hear me. We can't do any of those things. We can't run like we used to. My grandson was there yesterday, one of my grandsons, who just ran his first marathon this year. Amazing. But just in that place where I know I'm not running a marathon anymore. I thought of it. I said, nah. Ain't going to happen anymore. Not even going to go there. But in that place where we can't do the things that we used to do. So things are fading. Things are going. But you know what? He's not done with us yet. If he was done with us, we'd be home. And as long as he's not done with us, our hearts need to be in that place where, God, you're first. I'm second. Let's go. Let me listen to you. Let me hear you. Let me trust you. You still have a way for me. You still have something for me to do in this place. So the children of Israel, verse 2, all the children and do something with that word, all the children, except for a couple. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "Would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness." Really? We'd rather be dead than be here. Oh, we'd rather be dead than to trust you, Moses and Aaron. They're not really mad at Moses and Aaron, are they? They're mad at God for what he's done. They're not murmuring against Moses and Aaron. They're murmuring against God. And folks, if you're walking and doing any kind of ministry at all, people are going to get mad at you. People aren't going to like you. They're going to murmur at you. They're going to complain about you, and rightly so. And all the things you murmur about me, let me tell you, there's 100 more that you could be murmuring about. So you're just getting a little sample. But we're mad at God because we thought we were in a place where we were okay. We thought everything was going to be all right. We think that now that we're saved, everything is going to be wonderful and we can just walk on home and we're okay. And all of a sudden distractions comes and problems come and we get mad because we don't want them. Folks, these things are natural. These things are going to happen. If you never got saved, you'd still be having problems. You'd still be getting older. Birthdays come every year. You get older. All those things are going to happen. But we have a source of help. We have a source of refuge that we can go to. And his name is Jesus. And we can walk with him and he with us. And we can still go through this. But the people murmured and complained. Oh, a sad thing. Can you imagine sitting there listening to it? It's bad enough when you have a teenager that you have to listen to murmur and complain because everybody else has something that they don't have. They got an iPhone 17. I only got a 12. I need a new one. Amazing, amazing stuff that goes on. But can you imagine, that's just one. Can you imagine 2 million people all murmuring at you and about you? Oh, you would falter. You would fail. You'd get upset. All those things could go on. But we see a different picture coming here from Moses and Aaron, and it's a wonderful picture for us. It's a great instruction for us. And they said in verse 3, "And wherefore has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" And they said to one another, "Let's make a captain and let's return to Egypt." That's a great place to go. They just came from there. They're in bondage for over 400 years. It tells us this in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. It says this, and you know the scripture. It says, "For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." They've already got a captain. It's the Lord. They've already got a leader. He's leading them by fire by night and by cloud by day, and yet they don't want him anymore. We want a different kind of captain. We want somebody that we can see. Folks, the people around you that you can see are going to fail you, every single one of them. But you know what? The Lord is never going to fail you. He's always going to bring you the right direction, the right way. He's a better captain of our salvation than any man in this world ever will be. We need to trust him. Just because you can't see him does not mean that you can't trust him. And folks, if you're not trusting him, you're not walking by faith, you're walking by sight, and your sight's going to fail you. Keep a hold of Jesus. It's the only way. So let's make another captain. Let's go back. Let's turn around and go back. After 400 years and finally getting free, finally getting out, finally walking in the right way, and they want to turn around within a year. Wow. That's amazing to me. But it just shows that we have to take heed on our walk with the Lord, because the same thing is going to happen with you and I. We're going to hear things in the church that makes us falter, that shakes us. We're going to hear things about the church that are going to just shake us. People are going to say something to us that are going to shake us. And it's just amazing to us because we don't even know we're saying those things. We don't even know that our words are causing hurt to people sometimes. And yet to hear it now could be upsetting to us. it's going to upset Moses and Aaron. It's going to upset all the people of Israel for sure. And it says in verse 5, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were with them, searched the land, they rent their clothes. They were just upset. They were in mourning because of the things that were going on. So these four, as we sit here and look at them, are upset, but they go to the Lord. They hear the things that are coming against them, and they don't respond. Instead, they take those things to the Lord, which is another instruction for you and I. When people talk against you, when people say something against you, you don't have to respond. You take it to the Lord. If you know it's not true, you take it to the Lord. Lord, you've got to take care of this situation because I can't change their heart. Only you can. They're seeing something in me that's wrong, that's false, that's not true. Lord, you take care of it. Oh, and that is hard to do because we're a people that like to respond. We're a people that like to say, oh, yeah? Let me show you something. If you think that's bad, just wait till you see me now. It's just not, the truth of things are not there. And so they fall before the Lord. They come before the Lord. They want the Lord to move. They want the Lord to say something, to do something for them. And it tells us this in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. He says this, that the Lord said that he sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. The Lord is looking for people to intercede, to stand in the gap. And here's four men here who are doing that very thing. But in Ezekiel, he says, I found nobody in the land that would be doing that. And out of 2 million people, there's only four that are praying. Whoa, that's not a good percentage. And we go, Lord, am I one of those? Or do I just start murmuring and complaining with all the rest of them? Oof, and that's hard. But it's a place that the Lord wants to draw us to. That's the best place for us. The best place for us is not to be one of the murmurers and complainers. The best place for us is to be one of those that are standing in the gap. Because it's better for our hearts, and it's better for the people that watch us and see us. Lord, help. And sometimes we see it on a huge scale like we do with our country, but a lot of times it's just the issues in the house. Are we responding the right way, or are we murmuring and complaining about the things that are going on in our own homes? And boy, it shows our hearts real quick, doesn't it? The ones that we love the most, the ones that we're the closest to, are the ones that we murmur about and complain about the most, isn't it? Ugh. You treat me like that. You say that about my food. I've been sitting here all day cooking in the kitchen, and you say I burnt the toast. What? Yeah, I'll show you burnt toast. I won't even give you toast tomorrow. See how you like that one. And we go through all those things, but it just shows the heart. Where's my heart? Ready to murmur and complain. Oh, Lord, help us in that. So these guys are interceding, and it says in verse 7 that they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he'll bring us into the land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. And remember, the spies went in the last chapter, we saw it, and it was true. The land was flowing with milk and honey. They brought back, two men had to carry a cluster of grapes. That's how big the fruit was. That's how wonderful the things were that were in the land that the Lord had given them, that the Lord had promised them. And yet, because there was a battle, because there was an issue before them, they didn't want it anymore. We don't want the things of the Lord. We want the ways of man. Ugh. But look at what they say. They don't get mad at the people. They say in verse 9, only don't rebel against the Lord. They knew who they were rebelling against, because if you come in opposition, if you're murmuring and complaining, it's rebellion against the Lord. Oops. There's something else we can ask for forgiveness for today, right? Lord, forgive me for rebelling against you. Rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for their bread for us. They're just something that they're just there for something to us to enjoy, and we're going to get rid of it. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. fear them not, as they try to get them back to the right place. This is the only say. They don't look at them and say, listen, bozos, you guys are murmuring and complaining. They don't come against what they're doing. They try and point them in the right direction of what to do, rather than coming against them. But all the congregation bade them to stone with them with stones. These are their relatives, Joshua, Caleb. They're from the tribes of Israel, Moses and Aaron. And they want to stone them. They don't want to stone the enemy. They want to stone Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb. Isn't that amazing? And I know there's times during the service I see stones coming at me. Not physical ones, because I don't have to duck, but there's spiritual ones coming. You don't like what I say. You don't like what the word says. You just want to get rid of me. I'll be gone someday. That's all right. But not today. So they wanted to stone them with stones, and all in the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the people of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people provoke me? Moses, what do you think? And you know what? He's not asking Moses questions so that Moses can agree with him. He's asking Moses questions so he can show Moses his own heart. Moses, where's your heart with this situation? Ooh. And sometimes he'll use these things to show us where our hearts really are, to show us that our hearts are off kilter, that we're not walking in the right way, that we could have correction. Because remember, the Lord's chastisement of us is not for judgment, it's for correction and instruction. Always. The only people that the Lord's chastisement comes upon them is for judgment are for those that are unbelievers. For believers, it's always for correction and always for instruction if we look at it like that. If not, it'll feel like judgment. But when the Lord deals with us, it's for correction, to help us. Lord, help my heart. And our hearts need correction. Don't sit here and think that your heart is completely perfect before the Lord. You need correction, just like I need correction. And he chastises those that he loves, he says in Scripture. He loves you, but he wants you to go the right way for your good, not for his good. He's already good. He doesn't need you to be right for him to be right. He needs you to be right for your own good. And that's what he wants for you. How long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be before they believe me for all the signs which I've showed among them? I have shown them signs and miracles and wonders, and they still don't believe me. I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Moses, hang out with me, buddy, and we'll start a whole new country, and you'll be the king. How's it sound, Moses? We'll get rid of all these murmurers and complainers, and you'll be it. What does Moses say? And Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear of it, for you broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. He says, I want your glory to be known, Lord. And if you destroy this people, then Egypt is going to think that they were right and you were wrong. The Lord wasn't saying that he wanted to destroy the people, that he wanted to kill them, that he wanted them not to be around, and he really wanted Moses to start a whole new country. He was just seeing where Moses' heart was and showing Moses where his heart was. It was all for Moses. If you know what's right, folks, don't go the wrong way, no matter what you think you hear. He's trying to show Moses where his heart was. And Moses knows the heart of God so well, because he's walked with him for so long, that in the midst of this, the first thing he wants to see is God's glory, and then the people of God to be encouraged in the right way and to walk in the right truth. God first, the people second, and Moses out of the way. He put himself third. He didn't even say anything about himself. He wanted God's glory. He prays for the people. Doesn't say anything about himself. Lord, I'll let you take care of me, but Lord, I want your people to know you. Oh, that's a heart that has agape love, because agape love is self-sacrificing. There's a phileo love, there's a storge love, there's a familiar kind of love, there's a family love, there's a brotherly love, and then there's that agape love, that self-sacrificing kind of love that says, I'm not even thinking about myself, I'm thinking about others, I'm thinking about God's glory. Jesus on the cross wasn't thinking about himself. He listened to the two thieves that were near him. He saw the people that were looking at them, Mary, his mother, John, his disciple, and he was concerned with them and took care of those issues. Wasn't concerned about himself. He knew what was going to happen, and it should be the same for us. Lord, no matter what the world does to me, I want to think of you first, and I want to think of others second. Get me out of the way. Ooh, that's hard. But you know what? It's not impossible. The things that are impossible with man are not impossible with God. All things are possible with him. And he can do that in your life and my life. So Moses says to the Lord, the Egyptians are going to hear it, and they're going to tell it to the inhabitants of the land, and they've heard that the Lord, that you're among this people, that the Lord has seen, have seen face to face, and that they, the cloud stands over them, and that you go before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire by night. Now if you shall kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of you will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring up the people into the land which he swore unto them, where therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as you have spoken, that the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people. So he goes from wanting the glory of the Lord being seen to standing and interceding for the people that were around him, the very people that were picking up stones to throw them at him, he's praying for. Oh, how many times have you prayed for the people that were picking up stones to throw at you, that wanted to say awful things about you, that hurt you? Are you praying for them, or are you picking up stones to throw them at them? Oh, a different kind of heart, but only a heart that God can give. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of your mercy. Verse 19 there, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I would have pardoned according to your, I have pardoned according to your word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. The Lord just ministering to Moses and just really showing him, I wasn't going to do it. I just wanted to know where your heart was. I see your heart. It's wonderful. I love it. And this is what's going to happen. All the earth is going to be filled with the glory of the Lord. The people are going to know that God's glory is in this place. Oh, that's a man who's walked with the Lord, who sees beyond the problems, who sees beyond the issues that are before him, and sees the goodness of God above all else. God, you're good. You're always good, and you always do good. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your glory, that you're able to change us and make us into what you want us to be. You're able to conform us into that image. In verse 22, he goes on and he says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened unto my voice. So 10 becomes a number of testing in Scripture. You see it over and over, not always, but a lot of the times you see the number 10, it's there for testing. And they haven't listened to my voice. They haven't taken note of who I am and what I want. Surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto them, nor their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. And we see the world mocking Jesus. We see the world mocking Christians. We see them happening, but this is going to be their end. They will not see the promised land. And folks, our hearts should be like Moses, that we would stand in the gap for them. The harder they seem to the Lord, the more they need Jesus. They're just fighting. Thank goodness they're mad at God. I'd rather have them mad at God than just be okay with God and have nothing, because then their hearts are really seared. If they're mad at God, they have feeling and they're really struggling because God is ministering to them. I'd rather have somebody mad at God because they're open. They're ready. If they're not mad at God, if they're okay with everything, then they're seared and they have no feeling about anything. But if they're mad at God, they're like the people of Israel. We're mad because we're not getting our way. We're mad because things aren't working out the way that we thought. And God, it's your fault. How come these things are going on? And he's able to answer people like that, and they'll have ears to hear. Oh, but look at verse 24 then. But my servant Caleb, because he has another spirit with him, he has a different kind of spirit than the people of Israel do. Because in this spirit, look at what the spirit does for Caleb. He's followed me fully because he's walking in the spirit, because he's walking in the way that the Lord has. He's following God fully. Him I'm going to bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed is going to possess it. Wow, that sounds good for Caleb. See him over on the side just puffing his chest out. Oh, yeah, that's me, all right. It says in verse 25, now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear this evil congregation which murmur against me? Three times we're going to hear that, as the Lord says that. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. We hear those things. We see those things. Those things are happening. They're going on. They're awful. And yet the Lord has a wonderful plan for them, and he's going to do that plan. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10, it says this, neither murmur ye as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. So there's nothing new under the sun. The people in the church in the New Testament in Corinth were murmuring just as bad as the people of Israel back here in Numbers. A common thing to man. We don't need natural things in our life. We need supernatural things. And to be supernatural, we're not going to be murmuring and complaining. We're going to be walking in the Spirit, not murmuring and complaining about the things that are happening in our life. Oh, Lord, help us. He says in verse 28, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so I will do unto you. Your carcasses will fall. You got to put these verses together. Verse 28 says, as you've spoken in my ears, this is what I'm going to do for you. What were they speaking? We don't want you, God, to rule over us. We want another captain to take us back to Egypt. We want another captain to put us back into bondage. We want something else to go on, Lord, but you. And the Lord says, okay, I'll give you what you want. Be careful of what you tell the Lord that you want. Because if he gives it to you and it's without him, it's not going to be good for you. Even though it looks good, even though it smells good, even though it sounds good, it's going to be awful for you. Only those things that the Lord has prescribed for you are the things that are going to be good for you. Well, Lord, you said you were going to give me something, but this is it? This is the husband you gave me, Lord? Hey, it doesn't even look good, doesn't smell good, it doesn't do anything, but it's good for you. Because it's going to bring you into that relationship with the Lord that's right and perfect and whole. Folks, be careful of what you murmur at. Also be careful of what you desire. Because if that desire is not from the Lord, it's not going to be good for you. You're going to end up despising it and hating it more than you would despise what God gives you. Oh, these applications are somewhat awful, aren't they? Because they show us our own hearts, where we are and what's going on with us. We spend more time murmuring than we do praising. We spend more time looking for somebody to get us out of it than we do to stay in it and to see God's glory appear in the midst of it. Oh, Lord, help us. How long am I going to bear with these people? Okay, I'll give it to you. Verse 29, your carcasses are going to fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which you have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to you to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know that the land which you have despised. You said that I'm bringing you to this place and your kids are going to be a prey to the enemy. Guess what? Your kids are going to go into the land and you're not going to make it. You're making an excuse saying that my kids are going to get hurt by this, and so God, I'm not going to do that because they're going to get hurt. But the kids are the ones that came into the land. Oof. Again, it shows that our choices have consequence. And if they're without God, it's going to be a bad consequence. And notice, too, in verse 30, it says, nobody's going to go into the land from this generation from 20 years old and upward, save Caleb and Joshua. Notice he doesn't say Moses and Aaron, because he knows what's going to happen to Moses and Aaron. This is almost prophetic. You would think Moses and Aaron would make it into the land because they're good. They're representing God. They're following God. They're doing okay. But they're going to end up not doing okay, and they're not going to enter into the land. Only Joshua and Caleb entered into the land just like God said. Do you think you can trust God's word? This should be another proof text for you. I can trust God's word because this is what he said. And Caleb and Joshua did enter into the land. The only two out of that generation that entered in. Only two out of 600,000 or 603,490 men that they counted. Only two entered into the land from that generation. Whoa, that's not a good percentage, is it? Are we in that percentage, or are we in the big percentage that's not going to make it? Oh, Lord, help us. We need your help. We need your ways. It says in verse 32, but as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. And after the number of days which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year. So 40 days they wandered, 40 years they're going to wander in the desert, in the wilderness, before they go into the promised land, a day for a year. Oh, well, Lord, that's kind of harsh. If you really love me, if I really loved you, I'd bring chastisement to you and correct you, and I'd show you how long it can take when you make a mistake to get back into the right place. Oh, Lord, help us not to go in that direction. Verse 35 says, I, the Lord, have said it, I will surely do it unto this evil congregation. Look at the way he talks about them. They're evil. Their carcasses are going to fall. They're committing whoredoms by their murmuring and complaining. We think murmuring and complaining is nothing. It's just a natural way of life. The Lord says to me, it's a whoredom. It's wrong. It's sin. We think, well, it's not as bad as murder. But you know what? To God, each sin is the same. Whether you're murmuring, you're telling a little white lie, or you're committing murder, they're all the same. They're against him. And if they're against him, you need forgiveness. You need a blood covering of that sin so that you can enter into heaven. And without it, you're not going to make it. Lord, thank you for the blood of Christ, which is why we celebrate communion so often, just to remember what he's done for us, how extensive that is, how all-covering that is, that it takes us and brings us to that place. The Lord says in verse 35, I, the Lord, have said it, I'll do it. This is what's going to happen. You can be sure that God's word is going to come to pass. Wade and I were talking earlier about the protests in Iran and what's going on there, and yet trying to figure out how all that's going to balance out, because Iran's in Scripture at the end times, but they're against Israel. So if the protests win right now in Khomeini Falls, what's going to happen with Iran? Are they going to be good, or is it going to be another evil dictator rising up, taking over? But we don't have to worry about the how comes and what abouts. All we have to know is God said Iran's going to come against him. So these are just a shaking in the midst. Let it go. You don't have to figure it out. Well, God, you need to tell me. Why? He's already got it figured out. It's already in motion. Why does he have to tell you what he's doing? He's told us enough in Scripture that we need to pay attention to. We don't have to worry about the stuff we don't know. I have enough trouble with the stuff I do know. Billy, you need to walk holy before me all of your days. Lord, I can't do that. Then why are you worried about all this other stuff that you can't control when you can't even take care of your own stuff that I've told you to do? Don't say amen. praise the Lord. That was good. It's true, isn't it? We're trying to figure out stuff when we can't even take care of the stuff he's already told us to take care of. Oh, Lord, help me to be holy like you've called me to be. That occupies my whole life, my whole being, my whole intellect, my whole emotional stature, everything. That's enough to take care of right there. Help me not to worry about the stuff that I don't know. Help me to worry about the stuff that I do know. And help me to take care of business. Verse 36, and the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and have made the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up this evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and mark these, remember why their names are there. Do you know any of the names of the other spies that didn't get into the land? That got into the land and brought back the evil report? No. We remember the good guys, don't we? Because the Lord remembers their names. Oh, they live still. Verse 39, and Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. I bet you they did. And they rose up early in the morning and got them into the top of the mountain and say, lo, we be here. We'll go up into the place which the Lord has promised us, for we have sinned. Has the Lord already pronounced judgment? Yes. So what are the people doing? Well, Lord, we'll try and appease you by doing what you said in the first place. Too late, folks. If you don't follow the Lord's prescribed plan, then you're going to suffer the consequences of it, even if you try and make up for it. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to do a work in their own flesh to get back on God's good side. Folks, it doesn't happen. It has to be covered by the blood. It has to be covered by faith. Not in any other manner can it be done, only one way. God has said, you're not going to go now. And so what are the people trying to do? Well, we'll get God to change his mind. Good luck with that one. Have you ever tried to change God's mind? Did it work? No. I think he's trying to show us something. Lord, if you've already said something and you've already pronounced judgment upon it, help us not to try and enter into it then, just to get on your good side. I'll do that with Kath. I'll try and get on her good side. Oh, honey, you want me to do the dishes today? No, get out of my kitchen. We can't do it, can we? It doesn't change things. And it's the same with God. It's not going to change his mind. If he's already prescribed something, then follow that. Okay, then we'll walk through the wilderness and I'll walk by faith with you, Lord. They went up and they tried to enter in, and look at Moses tries to tell them, verse 41, why do you now transgress the commandment of the Lord, but it shall not prosper? You've already sinned. Now you're transgressing against the commandment that the Lord just commanded. You got a double sin going on now. Instead of just having one you got to deal with, now you got two. Oh boy, we are so foolish, aren't we? And yet we can see ourselves in this picture, can't we? I'll do it wrong once, and then I'll try and make up for it by doing something else wrong. That'll make it better. What's the old saying? Two wrongs don't make it right. Here we are. Two wrongs still make it wrong. He says, go not up in verse 42, for the Lord is not among you. And folks, if you go and the Lord's not with you, you're just inviting destruction in. And it's going to be worse than it was before. Look at what happens to them. For the Amalekites, verse 43, and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword because you turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. And the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in the hill, and smote them and discomfited them even to Hormah. They go up to fight the enemy that the Lord said, I'll give them to you. And then they said, we can't do it. And he said, okay, well, don't bother then. And they go up and they get beaten by the enemy. And you know what? They still murmured and complained. God, you got us killed. It wasn't God's fault. He told them not to. In fact, he even gave them warning, didn't he? Moses told them, don't do it. God already said, it's done. Well, we'll try it anyway. Maybe God will like us. Doesn't happen, does it? And they walk 40 years in the wilderness. And you know what's striking is something that isn't even said here, and I'll finish up with this, and it's striking to me because it's so obvious, and yet we don't often look at it because we don't read it, we don't see it. But we see Moses and Aaron, Caleb and Joshua, and they didn't leave the church of Israel and start their own. They walked with Israel for 40 years, even though they were right and all of Israel was wrong. And not one place in Scripture do you see anywhere where Moses, well, Moses did, but Caleb and Joshua, not once do you ever see in Scripture them complaining about the people of Israel and what they did to them. They stayed with the church. They stayed with the people of Israel. They walked with them because that's where God put them. And they stayed there faithfully and they walked with him. And their hearts were completely right with the Lord all those 40 years, even though everybody around them murmured for 40 years straight. How long can you put up with somebody that murmurs and complains about you for even a week or two? How about 40 years? Sorry, divorce is in the picture. I'm out of here. This isn't going to happen. They stayed with him. Why? Because God told them to. And they had a right heart. They interceded for the people when the people wouldn't even intercede for themselves. And you know what else I don't see? I don't see one place where the people asked for forgiveness for 40 years. Not one place. They were sorry that they were suffering consequences, but they weren't sorry enough to ask God for forgiveness. But to me, it's amazing that Caleb and Joshua put up with those people for 40 years and did not come against God, murmur against God. God, look at where you put me. You put me with all these 6 million, 2 million bozos that don't know their left foot from their right foot. They can't march. They can't do anything. They're going the wrong direction. Not once. That shows me a heart that is good with the Lord. And it shows me a heart that I don't have, that I have to cry out to the Lord for, because I know that there's only one place I can get that heart. And it's not by putting myself in a place where I have to put up with murmurers and complainers. I have to go to the Lord and ask for help. My works aren't going to get me there. His gift of grace is going to get me there. And we need that heart of grace. So, Father, as you have shown us so much this morning, Lord, as we sit here and prepare our hearts to take communion, sometimes I feel so guilty about this because I know my heart isn't perfect, it isn't right. And yet, Lord, you see me as holy before you because of what Jesus has done. And I thank you for that, Lord. But, Father, I want to be more conformed to your image today than I was yesterday. I want less complaining in my life. I want less murmuring. I want less thoughts about you not doing what I want you to do in my life. And just to be able to be settled before you so that I can do what you've already called me to do. Just be holy as you're holy. Because that's what you want from me. So, Lord, help me to get rid of all these shackles of these things that hold me in a different place. Help me to ask for that forgiveness I need to have. And help me to see what you did on the cross can bring that forgiveness of sin that I can't get any other place, but only through the blood of Christ. Lord, help our hearts this morning, Lord, as we sit before you. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we just come to you this morning just realizing, Lord, what you can do in a person's life, Lord. It wasn't that Caleb and Joshua were super saints, Lord. It's just that they were men who believed you, who believed your word, and acted like they believed it, Lord, no matter how long it took. And Father, we want hearts like that, Lord, no matter how long it takes. May we be holy because you're holy, Lord. No matter what everybody else does, Lord, help us to go the right direction. I ask for your hand to be upon us this morning, that you'd just be encouraging us in that way, Lord, that you'd be strengthening us for it, that we'd realize all that you have for us, Lord, that you can do it and that we can trust you. And Lord, we know it only comes by trust in you and who you are, by being born again of your Spirit. And now we sit here just realizing that we need that forgiveness of sin and realizing all that your cross has done for us, that you brought that forgiveness, that you brought remission of sin because of your blood offering. So, Father, we hold in our hands these tokens that remind us of that, that show us to remember all that you've done so that we can walk the right way, so that we can be encouraged when those hard days come, when those hard times come, when our emotions get in the way, when our thoughts betray us, and we think it would be better with somebody else or something else or a different place, Lord, that if you haven't called us to that, then we need to stay where we are and be faithful to you. So help us with that, Lord. We hold this bread, just speaking of your body broken, your body pierced. We hold this cup, just reminding us of your blood that was poured out so that we could have forgiveness of sin and the price that was paid to do that. That you had to be on the cross, having your body broken and your blood poured out so that we could be forgiven. Father, may we rejoice in that. May we hold you high because of that, Lord, and just have you higher, your glory higher than our desires and wants, Lord. We love you, we thank you, and we take these now in remembrance of you and all that you've done, and we give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake.